If anyone would like to support this work, I always welcome it. As you know, I don't require it. I've never required any sort of subscription fee. People can go online, they can watch this series for free, they read my newsletters for free. I have so many videos and audios on my website for free. The only thing that costs money is the books, because it takes money to produce the books. Of course, it takes money to run this website too. And I need to eat, so yeah, that helps too. Like I say, I've never required contributions, but I've never turned one down in my, as far as I know, I've never turned down a contribution. So if you wanna help this work, and this is a grassroots operation, I'm not supported by a giant organization, by an institution, which is good, because I can tell you what I find in the scripture without fear of censure or without offending the higher ups. My only higher up is God. I've been enlisted in this work by God. And for 24 years now, going on 25 full time, God has miraculously sustained me. He's not done this by a regular paycheck. He's done it by putting it on the hearts of people who have benefited and who benefit every day from my work, from this outreach. He puts it on their hearts to contribute to the needs of keeping this website going and to keeping Martin Zender going. I'm telling you, every month is a miracle. And it's totally grassroots. And it's totally people giving from the heart, not from compulsion. I don't want anybody giving anything from compulsion. Maybe I better send some. No, just relax. And people who are financially strapped right now, don't worry about it. You don't owe me anything. It is my joy to give this to you. Yeah, there's what's in it for me. I get to vent like yesterday, right? I have to write. I have to speak. I have to organize conferences. Woe to me if I don't do that. I don't do it for the money. I do it because I have to do it. I've been called to do it. But God is so gracious in that he has put it in people's heads and their hearts like, you know what? I'm just going to send Martin a little something to encourage him or to help keep the work going. So if you want to do that, you can. You can go to my homepage. There's a little red something. I forget what it says. Support the work or something. There's different ways you can do it. You know, one of the easy ways is you can do like a monthly automatic contribution thing that you can put any amount there. I think like 50 cents. If you want to send 50 cents a month, I'll take it. It works. It adds up. Thank you. I do not despise the widow's mite. I realize when people are in a pinch and still they give, you know, if you need something, ask a poor person. Have you ever heard that saying? Yeah. But also, there are those who do have sustenance in this life, and those who do, if you do, fantastic. Paul says to those who are those of means in this eon to be liberal contributors, and I follow this myself. Not that I'm wealthy in this eon, I'm not, but I don't miss out on the blessing myself of giving to other people. I don't announce it, I don't tell you about it, but I also give to, well, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now we go to back to Jeremiah chapter 7. I got on a big sidetrack yesterday. I don't regret it, but it is time to go to back to Jeremiah chapter 7 and the one from a city, two from a family. You see how I'll never forget that now, that verse. Jeremiah chapter 7. I'm going to go back a little bit and then pick up where I left off after I make sure that we're running here. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 14. Return, backsliding sons, averring is Yahweh, for I myself possess you. I will take you, one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Zion is the little hill, the little rise in Jerusalem where David lived, where the original temple was. I sent you a video not long ago talking about the original location of the temple, and it is in Zion. Then I will give you shepherds according to my heart, and they will graze you with knowledge and intelligence. Already talked about that. Verse 16, when it comes to be that you increase and are fruitful in the land in those days, a bearing is Yahweh, they shall no longer say, the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. Ooh, it shall not ascend on their heart, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they miss it. Oh, I miss the days of the Ark of the Covenant. No, they're not going to say that anymore because they're going to realize it was a piece of wood inlaid with gold. Nevertheless, nor shall another one be made again, because God's going to dwell in their hearts. Moving on, verse 17. In that era, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and it will be. I think the earthquake at the end of this eon is going to bring the continents together again. We know there was continental drift in the days of Peleg. Read Genesis, read the whole book, you'll find it. The earth was split, the earth was separated. And you can see if you look at a map of the world that Africa at one time fit into the eastern part of South America, and that Florida was once attached to parts of Europe, and everything drifted. Everything's going to come back, and when it, I suspect. And when it does, we're going to see for sure that Jerusalem is the geographical center of the world, Jerusalem. In that era, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all the nations will be expectant toward her. Well, they should be expectant because Jerusalem's going to be the breadbasket of the world. And like Joseph in Egypt, Israel in Jerusalem is going to feed the world for the name of Yahweh at Jerusalem. And they shall no longer walk after the obduracy of their evil hearts. Verse 18, I don't think I got here yet. This is new territory. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. This is my jumping off point for the two sticks in Ezekiel 37. Wait for it. And they shall, listen to this. Listen to this. This is profound. In the days, in those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. That's a new thing because they were split. It was a civil war in the days after Solomon. And they shall enter together from the land of the north to the land which I allotted to your fathers. This is interesting because in Isaiah 43, God says that he is going to call from the north, the south, east, and the west and gather his people. And the valley of dry bones is going to come alive when God breathes his spirit in them. So why is this saying that they're coming from the land of the north to the land which I allotted to your fathers? And they shall enter together from the land of the north. Because the land of the north, this is me now, I believe is modern day Turkey. Why? Because that is the site of the ecclesias mentioned in the unveiling chapter 2. The seven ecclesias, the seven lampstands that John sees once he is taken to the day of the Lord. And Bullinger says this, A.E. Nock says this, and those are some heavy hitters. I have to give their opinions a lot of weight. And I think it's more than an opinion. I think it's fact because there is scant evidence indeed that these ecclesias even existed in the first century. I have no problem even if they did. One of them, however, didn't exist at all. I'm going to be talking to you again about that. I mentioned it back in the bunker days. I would have no problem if they once existed, but they're going to exist again and they're going to be populated by people who have been called. Here's the thing. God does gather together north, south, east, west. And once he does that, he brings them into a wilderness. I'm going to show you maps of Turkey, even Google Maps, even satellite maps. And he's going to then bring, once they're there, now this verse can come to pass, and they shall enter together from the land of the north to the land which I allotted to your fathers. This is why I tend to call the seven ecclesias a staging ground. This is where they're groomed. This is where Israel is prepared. And then together, they shall enter together from the land of the north after they are gathered from the north, south, east, and west in phase one of Israel taking back Jerusalem for the name of God and the Messiah. Verse 19, I myself said, oh, how I would set you firmly as sons and give you the coveted land, the stateliest allotment of the nations. Yeah, oh yeah, the allotment of the nations. The nations are going to bring their wealth into Jerusalem. The nations are going to bow down like Joseph's brothers bow down to him. But instead of Joseph giving to them, there's going to be some of that. The nations will bring their tributes to Jerusalem. The allotment of the nations. And I said, you shall call me my father, and you shall not turn away from following me. That's different. That's a switch. You shall not turn away. That's a switch. However, like a woman who is treacherous with her associate, so you have been treacherous with me. And we have to bring this in. We have to remind Israel of her sordid past, of her whoring after other nations. Israel has been treacherous with God. And this is where they're the Lo-Ami people, not my people. In the place where it is said, not my people, there I shall call you the people of God. I need to find that prophecy. The Lo-Ami, that's a Hebrew phrase. Tricky. Just give us the English. Thank God for translations. How far do I want to go here? Yes, like a woman who is treacherous with her associates, so you have been treacherous with me. Let's keep going here. House of Israel. And this is about the house of Israel. Because really, the house of Judah doesn't have to go very far. The house of Judah, I believe to be the recognized Israel today. The house of Israel is the scattered Israel, those whose identity is hidden even from themselves. Verse 21. A sound is heard on the ridges, supplicating lamentations of the sons of Israel, for they have made their ways depraved. We're going back in time now. They have forgotten Yahweh, their Elohim. Return back, sliding sons. I shall heal your backslidings. And the house of Israel today is completely backslid. We call them Christians. We call them Pentecostals. We call them Baptists. We call them Catholics. Totally backslidden, lost, dark, ignorant, lawless. But only one or two are going to come out from every congregation. Maybe only one. If only one comes from a city, then there's only one or two in a congregation, assuming, see how literal I take this, assuming that a congregation comes from different cities. People meet in these giant arenas, and they come from different cities. So if he calls one from a city, and if there are four cities being pulled from to make up the giant Pentecostal or Baptist arena, then there could be four people in the assembly who are going to be awakened and are going to realize we've been playing games here. We've been totally after the flesh. We've totally missed it. But now something's dawning on us. This is going to happen. And the sign for it will be the constellation of September 23rd, I believe. But God says, and I'm happy for this, verse 22, Jeremiah 3, return, backsliding sons, I shall heal your backslidings. Another Freudian slip. I'm good at those. Behold us, we will arrive before you. Arrive. We will arrive. You picture like a limo coming up to a movie premiere, and the stars get out of the limo. We shall arrive. We will arrive before you. Yes, God's going to usher them in, not by limo, but by spiritual means. They may become coming by means of American Airlines or possibly United Airlines. Maybe Delta will bring Israelites into Turkey or into Israel proper. At which time they'll realize, oh crap, we're in the wrong place. Where are there Israelites gathering? Oh, there's a bunch of people up in Turkey. Let's go to Turkey. Behold us, we will arrive before you, for you are Yahweh, our Elohim. Oh, that's a new statement. Let me explain to you in the closing minutes of this show the difference between the titles. The title Yahweh, the name Yahweh, and the title Elohim. Yahweh is the God of time. Three-part Hebrew word. Will, being, and was, starting with the future, will, the present, being, and the past, was. It is the title God uses to portray himself as a God of time, as a God who is careful to be with us during the passage of time. God himself is not in time, but he condescends to consider his creation in that way, in accord with time. So that's comforting. Yahweh, our Elohim. Elohim is a tougher title. Elohim is the God of place. It's the God who puts people where he wants them and directs them. Yahweh is the God of time. Elohim, the God of space, meaning that El is a subjector, one who subjects people to his will. Just that title alone disproves the whole theory of human free will. Human free will says that we place ourselves. I'm here because I wanted to be here. I chose Jesus because I wanted to choose Jesus. No, you chose Jesus because Jesus chose you to choose him. He's the Elohim, Yahweh, our Elohim. It warms my heart that they're finally understanding these things. Elohim, just the fact that anyone's calling him Elohim legitimately from the heart tells me that they've unhanded, they've discarded the sickening doctrine of human free will. Yahweh does the same thing for me. Yahweh, that he's involved in their lives. He is, Yahweh is the time God. It's the opposite of what even some Christians think, that God set everything in motion. He pushed the big ball down the hill, and now as the ball's rolling merrily down the hill, he's off on a distant celestial detail on some kind of errand, and every once in a while his people pray to him, and they shout out his name. They gather in prayer circles, and they say, God, please help us, and he comes running from his errand, whatever he was doing over in Sector 62, and he comes back and says, what's happening? And then Christians inform him. He goes, oh, I didn't know it was that bad. Who's president? So, no. These titles are heartwarming to me. Verse 23, surely falsehood comes from the hills. Oh, is that ever true? Clamor from the mountains. Oh, yeah. The high places. When Israel wanted to whore after the other nations, they went to the high places to sacrifice because that's where they thought their deities were. And they probably were. There are literal false gods that Israel worships and the Christians worship. But in the case of Israel, they were probably had fangs and long hair and creepy looking faces. But in the case of Christians, the false gods that they worship, and they are worshiping false gods in churches, they disguise themselves as very pleasant, well-shaved, well-groomed, suit-wearing pastors, preachers. Surely falsehood comes from the hills. It comes from wanting to be on a hill. Falsehood comes from wanting to be set up in this life. That's where falsehood comes from. Clamor from the mountains. Surely in Yahweh our Elohim is Israel's salvation. Ain't that the truth? Verse 24, yet the shameful thing, it has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Isn't that true? Devoured the labor. People work and work for God, but it's a devouring work. It's a work that's self-absorbed, not Godward. And it devours you. It will, in the end, make you sick. It will demoralize you because you can never do it good enough. That's the problem. It's shameful. And it's stated here in Jeremiah, the shameful thing, it has devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth. Their flocks, their herds, their sons, their daughters, they've all been decimated by this idea that we have to go to the high places. We have to go to the mountains because there alone God lives. God doesn't live in the valley. God doesn't live in my trial. God doesn't live in my anguish. No, he expects me to get out of this. No, but when you cry out to him from the valley, that's actually the great thing. That's actually the great thing. Their flocks, their herds, sons, daughters, let us lie down in our shame. Yeah, that's a great start. Let us lie down in our shame and let our mortification cover us. For against Yahweh, our Elohim, have we sinned. And this is the beginning of good things. When you find yourself lying down, when you find yourself done, undone, you can't move, you can't do anything. Verse 25, the end of it. We and our fathers from our youth until this day, we have not hearkened to the voice of Yahweh, our Elohim. That completes Jeremiah chapter 3. And I will be moving on from there. You will see.